good gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Hi guys, Max here. Before we start the service, I just wanted to say that this service runs a little bit longer than usual, but for very good reasons. There are some great stories of what God is doing in this service, and I encourage you to spend some time listening to them. If you want to pause the service and go and have your breakfast or come back to it later on, that'd be great, but don't miss out on what God has been doing in Bedhampton. Now let's crack on with the service.
When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Welcome to our service for the 28th of June 2020 here in Bedhampton Parish in Hampshire in England. My name is Max. I'm the church leader, the rector of Bedhampton, and it's great to welcome you to our service this week. This week we complete our series on the foundations of our Christian faith as we ask the question, what about church? Later on, Polly will be sharing with us, and there's a video on the website if you want to go more in depth. Now you may have heard that from the 4th of July, our government have announced that we are allowed to open for some form of restricted public worship. The full details are yet to come out, but we met as a church council, your PCC, met the other night to discuss this and how we might move forward. And everyone agreed that we would only open when it was safe for all to do so. We would only open when everyone who was involved could be safely involved. We did not want to put anyone at risk. Indeed, we discussed how actually much of what we've been doing during this time of lockdown has been very positive. Worshipping remotely as a family, worshipping together as a family, even though we're distributed, worshipping and actually having community together, even though we are distributed. So we will not be rushing in to return into our church buildings. Instead, we will be continuing to worship and be community together. We'll continue to pick up the phone to one another. We'll continue to provide online services. Indeed, we will also open our buildings as we are on Wednesday and Sunday between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for private prayer. But what we won't do is lose what we've gained. What we won't do is rush into an environment which may be risky for some, and where some may be concerned to return to. Because as we know, and as of all weeks we are talking about the church this week, as we know, the body of the church are the people. We love our buildings and we look forward to the day when we can all safely and confidently return to them. But for now, that's likely to be later in the summer. For now, we will continue doing what we are doing. And I think what we have doing has been great. I've been hearing some great stories from around. Every time I phone someone to see how they're doing, I find that I'm fifth or sixth on the list and they've had other phone calls. So we'll continue doing that. Carry on ringing up people, seeing how they're doing. Carry on praying for God's kingdom to come in Bedhampton from where you are. Carry on joining in this worship. And later in the summer, when we are able to safely return, we will. And don't forget, you are welcome to come along to St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane for private prayer on Wednesday and Sunday between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. You're most welcome to do that anyway. And also, just another add-on this week, we're trialling a new system where if you know someone who cannot use the internet, then they can actually ring up and hear the same service that you are watching now. So we're trialling this new system, we're going to see how it goes, and hopefully it will help those who want to worship but who don't use computers. So the number will be available on our news sheet and indeed on the screen. But do spread the word about that in the weeks to come as we trial that out and see how that goes. But of course, what we're really here to do today is to worship our God. We worship our God, our Father God. We worship the Spirit. We worship under the banner of Jesus. Because Jesus first came for us. Everything else we do is a bonus. Everything else we do is incidental. under the worship of Jesus. That's what we're here for today. And so we take our time together to do that. And I was reading this morning in my morning prayer a wonderful psalm that I thought we would use for opening. So if you want to join in with this, I will read the odd verses and you can join in with the even verses as the text appears on your screen. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. You are, we are, the flock under his care. That's why we gather. Whether we physically gather or whether we gather remotely, we gather because he loves us. We are the flock under his care. Donna and Phil now, who are members of our St. Thomas congregation, will lead us in a song of worship. You can join in with it if you want as the words appear on the screen. Or you might also choose just to let the beauty of the music and the worship flow over you as you allow the Holy Spirit to minister.
God's Spirit is in my heart, who has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do, what I have to do. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come. Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witnesses throughout the world, the whole of the world. He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see. Set the downtrodden free, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come. Don't carry a load in your pack. You don't need two shirts on your back. A workman can earn his own keep, can earn his own keep. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. You have to say, don't worry, because on that day God's Spirit will speak in your heart, will speak in your heart. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Thank you for that, Donna and Phil. And again, Donna and Phil responded to a call I put out a little while ago, reminding you that if you want to be part of this service, that's what we want. The church is the whole body of the people. It's not about a rector. It's not about someone who is separate. It's about everyone being involved. And if you want to join in the prayers or join in the readings, or if you have a testimony, a story that you want to share of how God's been working in your life, or indeed if you want to sing a song to lead us in worship, then get in touch with me. Let's make this our worship, our whole family worship. Talking of which, we're going to have our Bible readings now, and Rosalind is going to bring us our first reading.
I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 12 to 19, 23 to 28, and 37 to 38, and I'm reading from the NLT version. Concerning this temple you are building, if you keep all my decrees and regulations and obey all my commands, I will fulfill through you the promise I made to your father David. I will live among the Israelites and will never abandon my people Israel. So Solomon finished building the temple. The entire inside, from floor to ceiling, was panelled with wood. He panelled the walls and ceilings with cedar, and he used planks of cypress for the floors. He partitioned off an inner sanctuary, the most holy place, at the far end of the temple. It was 30 feet deep and was panelled with cedar from floor to ceiling. The main room of the temple, outside the most holy place, was 60 feet long. Cedar panelling completely covered the stone walls throughout the temple, and the panelling was decorated with carvings of gourds and open flowers. He prepared the inner sanctuary at the far end of the temple, where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant would be placed. He made two cherubim of wild olive wood, each 15 feet tall, and placed them in the inner sanctuary. The wingspan of each of the cherubim was 15 feet, each wing being 7.5 feet long. The two cherubim were identical in shape and size. Each was 15 feet tall. He placed them side by side in the inner sanctuary of the temple. Their outspread wings reached from wall to wall, while their inner wings touched at the centre of the room. He overlaid the two cherubim with gold. The foundation of the Lord's temple was laid in mid-spring in the month of Ziv, during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. The entire building was completed in every detail by mid-autumn in the month of Bul, during the 11th year of his reign. So it took 7 years to build the temple.
Thank you for that, Rosalind. Rosalind worships along with Peter, her husband, at our St. Nicholas building normally. And now we're going to move over to our St. Thomas building, where Anne, who normally worships at the 8 o'clock there, but often visits the other services as well, will bring us our second reading.
The reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that, Anne. As well as being an amazing reader of scripture, Anne is also one of our wardens and typically worships at St. Thomas's, although moves around often to St. Nicholas and the other services as well. Along with Sandra, who's also typically at St. Thomas's, one of our other wardens. Well, we have two more wardens typically worshipping at St. Nicholas. That's Roger and Fleur. They often mix up, but those are typically the spread. And they are part of our church core leadership here. They help me lead the parish along with the PCC, the church council as well. And now we're going to hear from Polly. Polly worships typically at St. Nicholas and often leads our sung worship there, as well as speaks to us about scripture. She's got a real passion for the Bible itself. And today she's going to talk to us about what is church, or what about the church.
Good morning and welcome to the final Sunday in our Alpha series. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Polly and I'm a member of the congregation at St. Nicholas, and I've been involved in worshipping and leading worship there for over 20 years. As I said, today is the last Sunday in our Alpha series. And over the past few weeks, since the end of April, we've covered a wide range of topics. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? How can I have faith? Why and how do I pray? Why and how should I read the Bible? Who is and what does the Holy Spirit do? How can I resist evil? Why and how should I tell others? Does God heal today? And today we're turning our attention to the question, what about the church? As we look at this, I want to ask three further questions. What is the church? Why is it important to us? And where do I fit in? So, what is the church? Well, clearly the church is the building. But I believe it's not just a building. And I also believe it's not just an organisation that you join, but a family where you belong. Let that sink in for a minute. The church is not just a building. It's not just an organisation that you join, but a family where you belong. And as we explore this a little further, I want to take you back into the Old Testament. And today our reading came from 1 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter 6 outlines how Solomon built the temple. We've just heard some extracts from it, but if you get the time, why not read the whole of the passage and hear how carefully planned the temple was? In the Old Testament, the temple was important as it was the only place you could go to be near to God. And once a temple was built, the Ark of the Covenant, where it was believed God resided, was kept in the Holy of Holies. And in front of the Holy of Holies was a thick 30-foot curtain. Once a year, one person, the great high priest, was allowed to go through the curtain into the presence of God. But they were only allowed to go in once sacrifices had been made for their sins and for the sins of the people. And this day was known as the Day of Atonement. If we think about the word atonement and how it's spelt, I think of it as being the day of at-one-ment with God, the day when people could go into God's presence. The whole temple took 7 years to build, and it would have been a very elaborate and wondrous sight to see all of the gold and the cedar and the carvings. And in the inner sanctuary, there were a pair of cherubim made of olive wood with wings that spread out and touched the walls. And the Ark of the Covenant was placed in this inner sanctuary beneath the wings of the cherubim. Now, this is all very interesting, but what has it got to do with the church? Well, Christianity is obviously all about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And Jesus is our high priest, and he made himself the sacrifice for our sins so that every day we can know the presence of God, not just once a year like they did in Old Testament times. Really? If we look at Matthew 27, we have a recount of Jesus' death on the cross. And Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51 say, "And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The curtain that was torn in two was that thick 30-foot-high curtain across the entrance to the Holy of Holies. And it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. This could only have been done by God and by divine intervention. If a man had torn the curtain, they'd have torn it from the bottom and it would have gone bottom up. But that's not what happened. The curtain was torn in two from top down. And now for those who put their faith in Jesus, there is nothing separating us from God. Whereas a thick curtain stopped people from entering the presence of God, now that curtain has been torn in two. That curtain has gone, meaning we have easy access to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And miraculous as that is, the story doesn't end there. The great news for us is that Jesus didn't stay dead. We know 3 days later he rose again, and it was following his resurrection that the Christian church came into being. After his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured into his disciples. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God?" So if I'm a believer, I have the Holy Spirit in me. And if the Holy Spirit is in me, then the presence of God in me. And where the presence of God is, that is his temple. So therefore, I'm a believer, I'm filled with the Spirit, I am God's temple. We also had readings today from 1 Corinthians 3. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" As Christians, we're part of the universal church. And the church that matters to God is not the building, but the people. Interestingly enough, our church building has been closed to all of us for many weeks because of COVID-19. That hasn't stopped us being a church. It hasn't stopped us having services. All we've had to do is adapt and change what we've done. It hasn't stopped us running an Alpha course. We've just changed how we do it. It hasn't stopped us having prayer meetings. You know, personally, I've really benefited from the online prayer meetings because I can't get to them in person, but I've been able to join in online. And I don't know about you, but I'm becoming quite adept at video meetings from Zoom, Google Meets, Teams. We've just found new ways to connect with people. And this really emphasises to me even more that the church is not just a building, it's a body of people. Mike and I joined St Nicholas in January 1998, shortly after we were married. We moved to our current house in August 97 and we carried on worshipping at St Jude's in Southsea, but were challenged by God to join a local church. And we visited several in the area, but you know, the moment we walked into St Nicholas, we knew it was the place for us. The people were friendly and welcoming, and immediately it felt like home. It felt really like the family I could belong to. So, we are the church as individuals, but we also are the church collectively as a body. But why is church important? Hebrews 10 verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Being a Christian means belonging to the church, a community of friends, a home, a place where we can meet Jesus, a place where we can be the body of Christ to the world. And churches is important, as it's through meeting together we get our encouragement, we receive our teaching and we grow in our relationship with God. We're not meant to live on our own. We're designed for social interaction. So, if we are the church and it's not just a building, if it's important that we meet together because we're social creatures and we need one another to get encouragement, receive teaching and grow in our relationship with God, where do I fit in? Well, you fit in by being you. Each one of us is a unique person. No two are the same. Even with identical twins, they're not identical in every aspect. They are their own individual people. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Even so, the body is made up of not one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it won't for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all part, one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Mother Teresa also said, I can do things you cannot. You can do things I cannot. Together, we can do great things in Jesus' name. Where do I fit in? Well, you fit in by being you. You don't need to pretend to be anybody else. God made you as a unique person. He loves you as you are. He made you as a beautiful human person. You may not believe that you're special or beautiful, but that is honestly how God sees you. There's never been another person on earth like you, and there never will be. And what I love about the church in Bedhampton is it's filled of unique individuals. We all come with our own gifts and talents, our own quirks, our own hang-ups, but together we make one body. So what is the church? Well, we are the church, a body of people, a family. Why is it important? To get the teaching and encouragement we need. Where do I fit in? By being me. As we leave today, I pray that each one of us is content being the person God has created us to be. Whilst online church has been a great substitute for going to church, I long for the day when our buildings are open again, so all of us can come back together as one family. Until then, church, stay strong, stay safe, and keep growing in your relationship with God. Amen.
Thank you for that, Polly. Now, over the last few weeks, I've been asking you a couple of questions. I've been asking you, how did you come to be part of our church family here in Bedhampton? And secondly, I've been asking you, how has God met you in a significant way, a life-changing way here in Bedhampton? I'm delighted many of you have shared with me the answers to those two questions. And I want to share with you now some of the stories that have come in. I won't be able to share all of the stories that have come in, so forgive me if your story isn't here today. But actually, there are some lovely stories. I have to say, some of these had me in tears as I prepared for today. So what I suggest you do is pause the video for a moment, go grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee or a cold drink, and then come back in a moment. And I will share with you some of these stories that have been shared with me. So let's just pause while you go and get your cup of tea. Welcome back. So the questions I asked were, how did you come to be part of our church family here in Bedhampton? And when has God met you in a life-changing way? Now, I had a phone call the other day from Sheila Jones, and she phoned me and shared with me what happened with her, how she came to be part of our church. She said how that she moved into the area with her husband in 2006 to be with family. And she spoke of the welcome she received at the church and how she was really quickly integrated into the family. She mentioned Olive, among others, by name. And she said, actually moving on to the second question, that church family became all the more important when only 18 months after moving, her husband passed away. I can't imagine how that would have been for you. She said, actually, that is where she met God. She met God in a life-changing way, in the support of the family of the church. And for me, that reminded me of that verse that I so often quote, when Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, by the way that you love one another. That life-changing experience for Sheila was people in the church loving her. And by that, we see that they are disciples of Jesus. We have another story now of how someone came to know the church and met God in a life-changing way, as Colin and Vanda, who often worship at St. Nicholas, but also at St. Thomas, share their story with us.
In response to Max's request, we'd like to share some of our story to answer the two questions that he posed. So 33 years ago, after some traumatic times, including the two-year illness and death of our five-year-old son from leukemia, we moved from Bishop Stortford to Farlington to be close to our families. Those challenging and difficult experiences had put enormous pressure on our marriage. During our time in Bishop Stortford, we'd experienced wonderful, loving support from the vicar and his wife from the congregation there, but neither of us recognised Jesus at work in and through them. At that time, we weren't Christians.
I had been attending the church there and had been seeking comfort and searching for something, but I didn't know what. Within the first few weeks in Farlington, I tried the church across the road. But sadly, on two visits, even though I wept throughout the services, no one spoke to me. My mother, not a Christian at the time, recommended St. Thomas's at Bedhampton, and she said that she had seen people coming from there who looked happy. I went and I was given a wonderful welcome, despite my weeping. Through the caring ministry of the then curate Clive and his wife Sue Williams and members of the congregation, I saw and experienced the love of Jesus. After a few months, I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life at a Christian conference, and I experienced the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. My life changed dramatically, never to be the same.
During this time, I sometimes attended church with Vanda, but I wasn't seeking as she was. I did, however, recognise the changes that were going on in her life. In her desire for me to come to Christ, I was dragged to various Christian events and exposed to ordinary, genuine people who shared their faith in God. This led me on my path to explore further. I'd already begun to attend St. Nicholas Church regularly. Gradually, I came to the point where I felt compelled to make a decision, and I accepted Jesus as my Saviour.
Through our story, we recognise that God has met us in many life-changing ways. Over time, He healed our marriage, healed our hurts, and led us both to serve and love others.
So, God has changed our lives completely.
Thank you for that. Catherine Langhorne, who typically worships at our 8 o'clock at St. Thomas's, shared her story. Like many of the stories I've received by email, I ask that you forgive me if I read the notes that they've sent me, because I want to hear their story of Jesus and their life, and I don't want to miss any of it out. Catherine says that she lived for 12 years locally until about 2 or 3 years ago. She was only an intermittent attendee. She says, when my eldest son arranged to be married in church, I decided to start attending more regularly. Our close friends attend their church, and I'd always enjoyed joining them in their tiny village when we visited. Holy Communion at 8 o'clock became a regular slot, she says, followed by Wednesday morning, and then participating in a Lent group, and then more recently Alpha as well as Mother's Union, which she says leads her to answering the second question, how did God meet you in a life-changing way? She says, this is a tricky one. I've often turned to God in times of worry and sadness and received great comfort, but never felt fully involved. Over the last couple of years, she says, I felt the need to discover more for me. So, life-changing? Not in a dramatic way, she says, but reflecting on the last few years, I feel I have become a better person, more thoughtful, less critical, and comforted by the Lord's presence. I'm learning so much from Alpha, I have to admit, I do not find it easy, and some days pray for direction and guidance. I'm on a journey which is slowly changing my life. What a wonderful reflection that God can come in the dramatic, but also in the journey. We so often, don't we, talk about journeying with Jesus in our parish. It's because I think most of us, many of us, change over that journey. And now, Jill Matthews has shared us this video in her answer to those two questions.
Hi, I wanted to share with you something that happened to me last year, which might help a bit with our question of how do we know if God's talking to us? How can we hear him? When Roger and I moved to Bedhampton 3.5 years ago and began to look for a spiritual home, we were especially looking for a church where we could worship and find friends and a spiritual family. And definitely we wanted a break from all the kind of work that we'd done in the church over the years. So looking for a quiet time, really. Well, we found it, and I loved being here and turning up at St. Nick's on a Sunday morning and enjoying the worship and the fellowship. Well, then last summer we had cafe church, which included breakfast and bits of films each week as we worshiped together. And one Sunday the film was The Lion King. We watched the expelled lion cub, who one day should be the king, being brought up by strangers and growing into a questioning teenager. He was happy and carefree and without responsibilities. But one day he heard his father's voice asking him, "Have you forgotten who you are?" Well, it was like a bolt of lightning for me. It was my Father God asking me that question. I found my answer was, like the lion, yes, I had forgotten who I was. Well, at least what might be expected of me. And I needed to do something about it. The lion did. He went home and I went to talk to Max. I'd already had some thoughts about Messy Church and Shedvent, and after this nudge from God, I felt I needed to share them with Max and maybe talk about other ways to become involved and to be useful within the church family. So after chats and prayer, it led me to being involved in setting up both projects, both Messy Church and Shedvent, and I felt I'd come home, just like the lion did. And we have some exciting times ahead in our church, and we need to be creative in the way we can worship and get our children's work back on track. Thank you so much for your welcome in Bedhampton, and accept the acceptance of Roger and I, and we feel really part of the family. And don't forget to look out for God's nudge. You never know where it might lead.
Anne, who read our reading earlier on, shares her answers to our questions. She says, I moved into Bedhampton in 1990 on the 28th of February and looked for a church locally. I found one but felt it a little cold and no one spoke to me. I was working full time at that time, and so I went for a walk one day and came across St Thomas's. The church buildings weren't open at that time, but I looked on the church notice board and saw what time the services were. I decided that Sunday morning I would go to the 8 o'clock communion service. When I arrived, she says, I was greeted by the steward. This is just so classic of how important the people that welcome people into our buildings are. I was greeted by the steward, she says, and for the life of me, I can't think who it was. I do remember, though, they were amazingly welcoming. The church was going through an interregnum, so the church had no rector at the time. This is when Anne came. That Sunday we were celebrating Pentecost, and I happened to have a red jacket on. The church hangings are red at Pentecost, and the service was taken by Reverend Peter Hines. After the service, he was walking back to the entrance to greet everyone. He stopped beside me and said, I see you dressed appropriately for red. Are you visiting? He said. I said, no, I've just moved to the area. Wonderfully, he said, I do hope you join us again next week. And I said I would. It's amazing how important it is to speak to new people, isn't it? After that welcome, I knew I belonged. And I've been a parishioner here for 30 years. In that time, I've served on the PCC and for the last 2 years as church warden. Obviously, God, in his infinite ways, directed me as he knew how to plan for me. Needless to say, I hope I will continue here to my dying day. Oh, so do we, Anne. So do we. She talks as she moves into the next question. I've always had a faith, and the majority of the time said my prayers when I was young. When I was younger, prayers may have taken a back place, but as I got older, they became nearer to the front, until one day they were at the front. She says, I divorced in 1989, June. Moved into my house in February 1990 with a 15% mortgage, and then was made redundant on April the 23rd, St George's Day in 1999. Anne says, you could say it hit me all at once. Well, it certainly did, didn't it? We were told 3 months before our redundancy what would happen. And I had been with that company, Wyeth, since 1983. And it wasn't only me. There were several, including my boss. Everyone began asking if I was worried. How was I going to pay my mortgage, etc.? I then came out with, I have my faith. I will pray and God will see me through. Well, you can only imagine, says Anne, some of the looks I got. They probably thought I was nuts. I decided I was not going to rush into finding another job. I didn't want to regret having a job that I didn't like and that I wasn't happy in. I registered with an agency, told them when I would finish, and left it at that. Friday, the 23rd of April came, and the department I worked for arranged to go out for a farewell lunch. We gathered together, and the tannoy went out saying that there was a call for me. I took the call, and it was the agency asking if I could do 2 weeks' work starting on Monday. I said, yes, I could. And took my details. To my surprise, it was up the road at Keir's, a 5-minute walk from my home. I worked the first week there, and then the lady was coming back. So I rang the agency and asked them to go in on the Monday, which I did. She said she had a job at a company in Fratton. She arranged an interview that afternoon. I attended the interview with the lady who was in the job at the moment, and she said to me, when can you start? I said, when would you like me to start? Wednesday was the answer. Unbeknown to me, a gentleman who worked at Wyeth recognised my name and said he knew me. who I'd worked for with. And as they say, the rest is history. I've not even met the director who I was going to work for. Obviously, he had trust and faith. She says, I worked for that company from May 1999 to when I retired in 2017. I still visit them and I'm always invited to the Christmas dinner. I can honestly say that during those traumatic years, and yes, they were traumatic, I prayed harder than ever before. I won't say all my prayers were answered. No, I think God knew I had to work some things out for myself. But I knew he was there and I could call on him. So you see, he never gives up on you, but you have to do your bit as well. Isn't that true? So often when we pray, God uses us or other people to answer those prayers. And what a life-changing experience that was for Anne. I have to say, the next one made me giggle a bit because Barbara Vosper emailed me and said, well, this may not be life-changing, but I felt I needed to answer your questions. You be the judge about whether this was life-changing or not. She says, we came to St. Thomas's 57 years ago. It was our nearest church and we were welcomed, particularly by Pat and Jay. And then she talks about what's happened recently. I contracted the coronavirus early in the lockdown, feeling unwell on the 20th of March. The following day, I went to bed in the evening and woke up several hours later, experiencing a very high temperature. My thoughts were, yes, I do think I have the virus. When a voice at my side said, all is well. There was no one else in the room. I then had no fear and climbed back into bed and slept peacefully, and I had no more fears. She says, I'm sure it was the coronavirus because I had a temperature for the next few days, a dreadful cough which lasted for 3 weeks, preventing me from sleeping properly. No energy, and my taste had gone. So why did God speak to me? I spent a lot of time thinking and tried to be patient, loving and kind. I tried to spend more time in prayer, but my mind wanders. So what has God in store for me, she says. Well, that sounds pretty life-changing to me to hear from God. So it did make me giggle when she said perhaps it wasn't life-changing. Thank you for sharing that with us, Barbara. And so often, God does speak to us, doesn't he? Sometimes dramatically, like it was for Barbara. Other times, just in a little nudge, a word or a picture in our mind. God's Holy Spirit isn't a scary thing. As we see so often, he brings peace. Now, Nikki Quick is going to share with us her answer to our questions.
So, how did I come to be a part of this church? Well, I was actually baptised in St. Thomas's, Bedhampton, and also married to Neville there. So I did actually go to St. Thomas's and St. Nicholas's all of my life. But in my 20s, late teens, 20s, I sort of didn't go, basically. I had lots of other things to do, and I don't think God was really a part of my life. The thing that changed it was having children. The miracle of children. It just made both of us reevaluate everything. And we wanted to have both James and Charlotte baptised. And we came back to Bedhampton Church, which was lovely. And we've been here ever since. In terms of when God has met me in a life-changing way, I can honestly say there have been a few occasions, but the one that really sticks in my mind most is when my children were 2 and 3 and I was up in Scotland in Rosyth, and I first became ill with fibromyalgia. Didn't know what was happening. My mobility was greatly reduced. I was having problems looking after the children, you know, the physical aspects of doing everything. And in the end, I was getting so ill that I remember having my brother and sister on the phone saying to me, Nikki, if you don't get down here, we're coming to get you. So it really made me realise how serious the situation was getting. Neville had to finish his job on a ship up in Rosyth, and I
then stayed with my sister and both children, stayed there as well for a month while Neville finished his job. And we then came back down here and things started to settle more. But it was during that time at my sister Jill's house, I can remember on about the second day, I was, excuse me, physically and mentally exhausted. And I can remember Jesus coming to me and putting his arms around me and saying, as clear as someone else in the room, "You can relax now, rest. The children are safe, they're being looked after. I'm with you. Now work on yourself and get better." Which, thank God, I did. It was such a powerful experience, and I'm grateful to God for that to this day. And I think that really was a big changing point in my life. And ever since then, if I've had any sort of crisis, I'm not saying that it's always easy, but I've just tried to turn to God and pray through it and ask for him to come and be my supporter, my helper. And it has made a difference to me since that time 25 years ago.
Thank you for sharing that, Nikki. Nikki normally worships at our building at St Nicholas. And now we come to Marie and Roy, who worship often at the 8 o'clock at St Thomas. They say, "We moved to Bedhampton from Surrey almost 6 years ago. We never expected to find a community that we had experienced in our old church, where we had been for over 40 years. We came to the 8 o'clock one Sunday, soon after our move, and were welcomed warmly with friendship we never believed we would see it again. We knew we had found in that holy place a place of care and people, all we could wish for." Again, how important is that welcome? And then they move on to answer the second question. When they say, "When Roy was diagnosed with jaundice and several large tumours in his body in 2018, it was completely out of the blue and such a shock. To hear the consultant tell us that this was extremely serious, we both thought that Roy would not be with us for much longer. He was in such a weak condition, although thankfully no pain. Despite this, we knew that our Lord was with us, and we were supported so much by all the prayers and love from our friends that we had made in our church. After a week, the jaundice appeared to lighten, and Roy underwent the first of many operations and tests. We were told that there were no tumours and all was normal. We both felt elated, but also a little frightened. But had no doubt that God was with us and caring for Roy. Many months later, it was confirmed that Roy was suffering from a condition called autoimmune pancreatitis, an illness only discovered in 1995, and which mimics cancer with painless jaundice and phantom tumours. Little is known about this, other than it is not life-threatening or life-limiting, and is treatable with steroids. The weekly trips to Southampton Hospital went on until 1919, halfway through the year, when they gave the final diagnosis. But throughout that time, we never doubted our Lord was supporting us and our family. We truly felt that we had witnessed a miracle when Roy started to get better, even before his first operation. Thank you for sharing that miraculous healing. See, God can use the medical people as well as healing through his Spirit. And indeed, thank you for all of those who have shared and been vulnerable enough to share. Because actually, the church is the people. And it's great to hear of how God is working in your life, how you came to the church, how you have grown in the church, and how God's Spirit has been with you. I am and have been in preparation for this, truly touched by your stories, and they've encouraged me. I hope they have encouraged you as well. As we now move on into prayer, maybe this will be a good time, as we are prayed for, that you also lift your prayers to God, thanking God for all he does for you.
Dear Lord, I would like to pray for the well-being of children, for their own mental health and for how it may have been affected during this time. We don't know the extent of damage that some children may have experienced, and we pray that you will use us to help support any children who need your love and your healing. We pray that any issues children have been experiencing come to the attention of their school and support services quickly. Let them not suffer alone, Lord. Father, we send the children to you, also that you protect them from any worries or concerns they may have during this troubling time. Help us as adults be who you need us to be. We pray for the planning and preparing that all schools are going through. We pray that you bless all the teaching staff as they try their best during difficult circumstances. Amen.
Dear Lord, I would like to thank you for our church, specifically for all the things people do behind the scenes to keep the Church of Bedhampton Parish thriving. I thank you for Catherine and her safeguarding work, for our wardens Anne, Roger and Sandra, for our verger Alec and for our organist Carol. I thank you for all those who have contributed prayers and talks, for Peter, for Vanda, for Polly, for Nikki, for Colin. I thank you for all those who are offering their time to open up the church for visitors. I dearly thank you for Max, Susie and Celia, and as well as Becky, for their service in your name. Father, the church is your bride. We may look different in the future, but we are still your church people. Give us a boldness of spirit and a courageous heart as we seek to serve you and respond to your calling. Amen.
Dear Lord, we pray for our country, for the time we are in, sickness, poverty, injustice and destructive behaviours. At times, it can be depressing and dark when we consider our immediate future. But Lord, you are our lighthouse. The darkness has not overcome. You are our victory, and we shine brightly with your love. We boldly ask that you place us on that will to be a beacon for you, for us to remove anxiety and worry from our friends, our communities, and the people who we work with. Lead us on, encourage us to promote justice, mercy, and for us all to walk humbly with our God. And let us always remember that we have the victory and the will. And the will be with us until the end of time. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, make me know your way, dear Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I know with our testimonies and our stories today that this perhaps has gone on a little longer than usual, but I think it's really important. I think it's really important to share these stories with one another. And so I hope you have found the time useful. And now we're going to have our final song. It's one of my favourites. It's a song that speaks about how God works through us and how much did we hear that in the stories we heard earlier on. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
So as we finish our time together, let me remind you now that every Wednesday we join together as a church for prayer. You can find more details about that either on the news sheet or on the website. Also, next week we have Messy Church. There will be a new video format for Messy Church, similar to this, but with all the messy stuff that goes on. Look forward to that. Check that out on the website. In addition, next week we are starting our new series, Practicing the Way of Jesus. We started this just before the lockdown, and we chose to stop it while we paused and worked out how lockdown was going to work. And now we're returning to look at practicing the way of Jesus. Now we've looked at the foundations of our Christian faith. What does it really mean now to walk as with Jesus beside us? Because that's where he is, through his Spirit. And so we start that next week as I introduce that topic. But for now, let's just finish with a moment's quiet to let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I wonder what you're going to take away from this week's service. What is going to spur you on in your journey with Jesus as he walks with you? What is going to be your moment of life-changing experience with God? Could that be this week? Let's be quiet for a moment as we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you before I just pray a blessing over you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Have a fantastic week. Yeah.
sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the King